God bless you, the most wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And thank you again, Barney, for the opportunity to share God's word. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And yes, we all do have so much to be thankful for. You know, when Barney asked me if I would like to share tonight, it's a no-brainer, of course. It's always such a privilege to share God's word and to keep that fire going. So tonight, I want to share on something that, well, it's an old question, but maybe a new question, a new subject, a question that maybe everybody has asked before. I'm sure we all have. I know we all have. It's a basic question. It's an honest question, thoughtful, simple, just looking for that simple answer. As we all know, that can be challenging today's, I guess, their culture, our society, or just our social whatever. But here's the question. What if the Bible, God's word, is really true? What if we are living in the realm of the miraculous? What if it's all true? Wouldn't we have so much to gain and really nothing to lose by just simply believing it? Of course, the world don't want us to know the truth. Heck, sometimes doesn't it seem like everything that you were taught when you were younger that was right and moral, the world now says it's wrong. And that what was wrong is okay and acceptable. I'm sure you can all come up with your own examples. And, you know, even if you need evidence of that, just turn on the news or the internet, or even look at our education system. Well, just take a look around. Of course, you know, we all want to be informed, not consumed by it. God gave us some common sense. He don't want us to be uninformed or ignorant of what's going on. We know what 2 Corinthians tells us. The NIV says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And he's got a lot of schemes, tricks, and devices. We all know that. Not only do we have common sense and a moral compass, but we got that big, beautiful gift of Holy Spirit, that one beautiful gift we received when we believed that God raised his son from death to eternal life. So how great would it be just to believe it? No doubt, just believe the word of God. Think about this for a minute. When you breathe, you don't think about it. You don't question it. You just do it. It's natural. And guess who gave us that breath? Way back in the beginning in Genesis, when God breathed the breath of life into man for the first time. And that's what we've been doing ever since. No matter how you cut the mustard or you try to explain it away, it's really pretty simple if we read it for ourselves. Think about it. The breath of life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils is that same breath that's passed on through generations. How awesome would it be to just believe God's word and not question it? I know we all sometimes do, or we doubt it, but we just believe God's word. Here's something else for you to think about. When you walk, you don't even think about putting one foot in front of the other. You just do it. You don't question it. You don't doubt walking. You've been taught, so you just walk. Of course, you know you got to be careful. There's going to be some bumps or some holes or obstacles in your way that might cause you to stumble or fall down. But just imagine having that type of believing. I know we've all heard many teachings and sharings on believing over the years, and we've probably even done our own studies or our research. But sharing about it, it never gets old. Hearing about it, it never gets old. It helps keep that fire burning. Because I know for me, I ain't got it all down. I don't think no one does. That's why I called this sharing tonight, What If? Like I said, what if it is all true? The Bible, the Word of God, what if it's all true? Just like breathing, God is always with us. No matter what, where, or when, he's always there. God tells us in so many places he's with us, always. He never will leave us. He'll never forsake us. Deuteronomy tells us to be strong, to be courageous, not to be afraid or terrified of them, no matter what situation you're in. For the Lord your God goes with you. Joshua tells us to be strong, to be courageous. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Just stop and ponder that one for a minute. We are told time and time again in the Word and in the manifestations that he will never, never leave us or forsake us. He's as close as our next breath. It really is amazing, crazy good. Whatever word we use to describe it, how the presence of God in our lives can change. It can change your mood, can change your attitude in an instant. Just one prayer or a song, verse of scripture can take you from the absolute worst mindset of despair or that bummer feeling to a place of such peace, joy, do I dare say happiness? There is nothing like the presence of God in your life. I got a short story to of a wonderful example of believing God. It's about a guy named Peter Hastings and a little girl. And Peter Hastings, he hated flying, which was a terrible irony of fate because he spent a great deal of his time flying from city to city across the United States on behalf of his company. He racked up thousands upon thousands of frequent flyer miles, and he never used them. When he went out on a holiday, Peter never flew anywhere. If he couldn't drive, he didn't go. One of the most harrowing experiences happened on a flight from Detroit to Denver just 2 days before Christmas. Peter was ushered into the plane and seated by the smiling attendant. He immediately buckled up and checked to see that there really was a parachute or a life vest underneath his seat. It was only then that he noticed that there was a tiny little girl, more than probably 6 or 7, sitting in the window seat next to him. Peter summoned a smile for the child and said, "Hello there, is this your first flight?" The little girl smiled happily back and said, "Yes, I can't wait to fly. Did you know that planes are a lot heavier than air?" Peter felt his stomach turn over. He said, "Yes, I actually did know that." What he didn't say, that he wasn't interested in thinking about that too much. But the child continued chatting happily. "My dad says that the air flows over the wing, which is in special shape, and that's why planes fly." "Well, that's very interesting, little girl. We're going to be flying over 10,000 meters. That's so high." Peter was getting even more nervous than usual. "Yes, that is very high." Thankfully, that was when the pilot announced the takeoff, and the little girl became so engrossed with the view outside her window, watching the earth fall away. Peter never took the window seat. Shortly after that, the flight attendant served drinks. While Peter asked for a beer, the little girl happily drank an orange juice. Afraid that she'd start telling him unpleasant facts about airplanes again, Peter pretended to fall asleep. Then he was jolted upright in his seat. Turbulence. The plane was being tossed by air pocket to air pocket. The seatbelt light was on. The pilot advised them to stay in their seats, and the flight attendants struggled to collect the trays. Peter grabbed onto the armrest of his seat and started praying. He wasn't the only one. All around him, he could hear desperate whispers, sobs, and cries as the turbulence became even worse. Peter looked at the little girl at his side, and he was stunned to see her calmly leafing through a book. "It's okay, little girl," he said, trying to reassure himself as much as her. "It's going to be all right." She just smiled at him and continued reading. The book was about a puppy and a kitten and a parakeet. Peter noted as the plane was swept up yet again and jolted viciously. Some of the other passengers screamed, but Peter was afraid that if he even opened his mouth, he'd never stop screaming again. Once in a while, the pilot's calm voice would assure him that all was well, and the little girl would smile. After 2 hours, the turbulence finally dies down, and the pilot announces their approach to Denver. A general sigh of relief filled the cabin. The passengers had all thought that they were facing their final moments, everyone except the little girl seated next to Peter. Smiling and feeling much better, Peter turned to his tiny fellow passenger. "You know, you're the bravest person on this plane. Everyone else was scared except you." The little girl smiled and said, "Oh, I knew there was nothing to worry about." Peter stared at her in astonishment. "When the plane was in turbulence, you weren't worried at all?" The little girl just giggled and said, "Of course not, silly. My daddy is the pilot, and he's taking me home. I'm as safe as houses." Peter closed his eyes and hid his tears. He remembered his childhood and the comfort and the safety he felt in his father's arms. He was moved by the little girl's faith in her father and realized she reminded him of his own faltering faith in God. The child had known in her heart what so many ever seem to forget, that her father would never let anyone harm her or never let any harm come to her. She was safely shielded by the turbulence of life in his loving arms. That's just such an awesome story and a wonderful example of God's faithfulness, his trust, and he's going to get us to our final destination too. We have a great, big, wonderful God that no matter what obstacles are thrown at us, we're safe and we're saved and we have eternal life. We have power now because that Spirit of God is living in us. Nothing is too big or too small for our God. He tells us in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. There's always going to be trials and tribulations in life, but God will carry us through every storm in our life and give us the strength and the peace to make it through. That's a promise. So what if it's all true? What do you get to lose by stepping out and just believing his word and saying, okay? Well, guys, that's kind of what I wanted to share tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to share my heart, and I'd like to pray right now. So, Father, you are so, so good to us, and we thank you for all you do, you've done. Father, for all you continue to do. We thank you, Father, that you called each one of us by name. I thank you, Father, for continuing to guide us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to show us the things that only you can. I thank you tonight, Father, for everybody that's on this line. I thank you for their lives, for their hearts, their health. God, for the love that they have for you. So, Father, tonight, again, we want to lift up our country. We thank you, Father, for all those that are out there in harm's way. We lift up our National Guard, Father, our police, our EMTs. We just thank you, Father, for blessing them, for protecting them, and keeping them safe. We thank you for our leaders, God, for giving them the wisdom and the understanding and the guidance to guide this country, to get us back on track, Father, and to listen to you. So, Heavenly Father, I want to lift this night up to you and thank you so much for this opportunity. And I thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.